Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutun, and we're chatting tonight to Dr. Gaus Azam. He's the Special Advisor to the Minister of Science, Technology and Innovation, the Coordinating Minister for the National Vaccine, National Immunization Programme, Khairi Jamaluddin. Dr. Gaus, if I can ask you a little bit about the variants. Now, one of the things that I wanted, that we were seeing more and more is the presence of variants within local cases. How has the emergence of variants within Malaysia affected our immunization strategy? I mean, have we taken this into consideration?
Yes. So recently, Tan Sri Hisham, Nur Hisham, announced that Malaysia has detected 5 of the UK variant, which is the B117, and 17 cases of the South African variant, which is the B1351 variant. So for us, it's quite an alarming thing to see that these variants have arrived in Malaysia, right? So what is happening right now is that we are closely looking at the data that's been coming out from places where they already have the South African variant or the UK variant to see their data on the efficacy of the vaccine. So far, it looks like, for example, the Pfizer vaccine, which has a lot of data coming out, it shows that it has still protection against the UK variant, and also it protects from the South African variant, although the efficacy might be a bit lower, but the protection is still there. However, there are some vaccines, like, for example, AstraZeneca, that has been shown from the South African study that it doesn't have any much protection against the South African variant. So that is quite alarming, because we've detected 17 cases in Malaysia. Hopefully those cases are isolated and it doesn't spread, because if the variant starts spreading, then we have to relook again at our vaccine and to see which one we can still continue on using and which one we have to stop using if it doesn't offer you protection, right?
Yeah, so one of the things, I think this is a long-standing discussion about the mutation of the virus itself. And that many of the vaccines just need to be tweaked, as it were, to deal with the evolving nature of the coronavirus. But then the fear, of course, is that there will be some variants that break through the vaccine shield, as it were. Could you help us understand? You know, this is a dynamic situation, right? So what is it that public health officials think about when they have a situation as dynamic as the coronavirus? What is it that it will need to be planned for in the future, as it were?
Okay, so the variants, so there's a couple of things. So first of all, for example, like the Pfizer contract that we've gone through. So if they develop a new vaccine to cover the variant, we are entitled to get the new version of the vaccine. It's part of the contract. So any improvement that they've made, we will get that as part of our orders. And I know that Moderna is doing this variant study, Pfizer is doing the variant study, AstraZeneca is doing the variant study, even Sinovac and all the Chinese vaccines, because they worry that, might, for example, the South African variant might spread all over the world, and then suddenly, you know, your vaccine stops working. You need to have a backup plan. So I think a lot of these pharmaceutical companies have already looked into this, and we are waiting for the data. So some data have come out. For example, like the Pfizer vaccine shows that it can still protect you. But what Malaysia can do, so this is quite important. So this is where recently YB Khairi also mentioned that we are now ramping up our genomic surveillance. And what that means is that we're looking at the whole virus sequence to see what variant we have in Malaysia running around. So if you look at what, for example, when Tan Sri DG announced this, he always mentioned that from genomic sequencing. So it's not just an RT-PCR, because RT-PCR will tell you whether you're positive or not. It hardly will tell you whether what variant you get infected with. So you still have to get the swab and do a genomic sequencing to know what variant you have. And this is also, genomic surveillance is also a way for you to detect new variants. For example, let's say there is, because the virus keeps on mutating, right? So sometimes it will pop up a new variant. So just in case there's a new variant in Malaysia, with the genomic surveillance, we can sort of identify it and sort of contain it very quickly. So genomic surveillance is very important, and we've already ramping up our genomic surveillance capability. Right. We have the capability in Malaysia, it's just the funding was not there, but now we have the funding for genomic surveillance, and this will be good for us to protect our vaccine portfolio.
Okay, that's quite interesting. You know, one thing that you said to us a little bit earlier is just it struck me just how quickly news about vaccines and vaccine development and, you know, the public health measures around it change. But one of the things we do know for certain is that vaccination is not a silver bullet. It's just one of the toolkit of measures that the government, you know, is saying for us to manage this pandemic. How should we be thinking about, you know, once the vaccination is done, the period after that takes a while for it to develop some kind of efficacy, right? How should we be thinking about that? And I'm thinking about the case of the Pakistan Prime Minister, Imran Khan, who got COVID-19 2 days after getting vaccinated. Mm. What is the government saying to people about this?
Okay, so, I mean, the case for Imran Khan is because he got the COVID 2 days after vaccination, his first dose. So that was not enough time for his body to build up the antibody. Generally, it would take about 1 to 2 weeks after your second dose for you to have sort of full immunity against COVID. I mean, it's not full, I mean, maximum protection, depending on the person. So 1 to 2 weeks after the second dose. So you still need quite a lot of time. So even if you get the first dose, it doesn't mean you're protected, right? You build up your antibody, and when you get the second dose, it will build up some more, right? So if you get your first shot of the vaccine, don't go, I mean, taking off your mask or anything and move
around. Don't go party.
Don't go on a party, for example. But going back to the whole country, right? Mm. So what we are looking at is that hopefully when vaccination starts to ramp up and more of Malaysians are vaccinated, we hope to see that the cases will come down. And what's more importantly, we hope to see hospitalization cases to come down. So some people might get the vaccine, might still be able to get COVID, but they just have a slight fever, for example. And this has been shown in Singapore recently. They say that someone who has gotten 2 doses of the mRNA vaccine showed some symptomatic COVID. Mm. But then the dorm that he was staying in, they tested everyone, no one else got the COVID. So, yeah. I mean, that sort of shows you the 90-95% efficacy that maybe one person can still have COVID and can be transmit the virus. But if everyone else is vaccinated, then, right, you know, the rest might be protected, so it will not spread. It will stop spreading.
Yeah, and I believe that pool was about 1,500.
Well, yes, about 1,000. So Singapore tested all 1,500 of them, and no one else got was positive. So that's a good
right,
thing.
So this is all about that herd immunity you know, issue that's been long talked about. I mean, how far off are we, you know, I mean, you're a scientist. What realistically are we looking at a situation where herd immunity could be built and we can maybe even open up our borders and such?
So the herd immunity, there's a calculation to the herd immunity. So that is why we project around 70 to 80% of Malaysians that needs to be vaccinated if we want to reach herd immunity. But this can change depending on the type of vaccine and, you know, emergence of new variant. Mm. But roughly about 70 to 80%. So this is why if you look, usually we'll mention we want to vaccinate 80% of the population by end of the year. So if we can do that, hopefully by end of the year, we have enough people protected that we're not going to have a lot of cases of COVID cases. Mm. This has been slowly showing in some countries who have been far advanced in vaccinating their population. And they've shown that, you know, the cases are going down massively. The number of hospitalization have gone down massively. But we also recently saw, like in Turkey, for example, because they use mostly Sinovac. And people have been, again, discussing about Sinovac, right? They've shown that their cases of hospitalization for above 60 has come down almost half. And their cases of positive cases have also come down, I think, about half. Right, so even with the Sinovac vaccine, Turkey has started to see the cases has come down, the cases of hospitalization has come down because they've vaccinated quite a lot of their population. Mm. And of course, the other countries that uses Pfizer have also shown almost the same result, cases have come down. So we'll see in this next few months, they will be very interesting to see when some countries have reached, you know, 70 or 80% of their population, what happened then? Do their cases flattened out at the bottom, or does it increase again? I think that is something that JKJAV is constantly looking at, these data from the from these countries that are actually advanced, and what sort of vaccines they use, and what sort of strategies they use, and how they deal with variants?
Well, one of the so you said that we're, you know, we want to, our target is to achieve 70 to 80% by the end of the year, and I was reading comments made by Khairi Jamaluddin that, you know, if we're not seeing more sign-ups, there's going to be a critical point where Malaysia has to decide whether we need that extra push, whether we need to make it mandatory. And I think it was September that he said that, that's the inflection point. How are you thinking about this? You know, I know the last time we spoke, you also said that mandatory, forcing anyone to take a vaccine is not a good idea. But how should Malaysians be thinking about this? If, you know, we don't sign up, then we're not going to achieve this target.
Yeah. So what YB Khairi was also saying, because by September, we should have enough vaccine arriving in Malaysia to cover 80% of the population. So by then, our supply would have exceeded demand. Mm. And we need to look at, in September, first of all, how many people have registered, how many people have taken the vaccine, and of course, what are the cases numbers like, right? Have cases gone down or is it still ramping up? So I think a lot of considerations to be made in September. If our take-up rate is low and our cases are high, then maybe some tough choices have to be decided. But if the take-up rate is good, registration goes up. Once, you know, once more and more people getting vaccinated, then hopefully there's this like fear, you know, peer pressure or fear of missing out, for example. I mean, we've already started to see this. Like, before the vaccine comes, people were worried, like, can we handle the Pfizer vaccine? Is it safe? And now, once the, you know, a lot of frontliners have been getting their vaccines and they've been showing it in social media, now there's a group of people saying that, when are we going to get our vaccine?
Vaccine envy.
Vaccine envy, right?
We have vaccine envy.
That's correct. Some people have vaccine envy and they keep saying, we've registered in February, when is our turn? So some people are now suddenly very eager to get the Pfizer vaccine, and people forget already about, you know, how can we handle Pfizer? Is it good? Is it dangerous?
Are you concerned about adverse events being given a lot of play and reversing that attitude?
There needs to be a balance. I mean, if there is an adverse event, like, for example, what happened with Pfizer, they have the anaphylaxis, and AstraZeneca, the blood clots. I mean, that needs to be managed properly. Like, for example, the Pfizer vaccine, the anaphylaxis, how they manage that is that they ask you to stay about 15 to 30 minutes after you get the injection, because that is when
to monitor
the reaction occurs. But for AstraZeneca, I think they're looking at it again, because they were saying, I think the period was about 2 weeks. That's quite a long time. So I think they need to understand why it happened and how to mitigate it. I think that's crucial. So adverse event, it will happen, and we have to communicate, you know, what sort of things you should expect and what are we doing to mitigate it. So Pfizer is not a big problem. The mitigation is just you wait for half an hour. If you're fine, you go away. If you have some sort of reaction, a medical personnel is there to observe you, and they know what to do if you start having an allergic reaction.
Right.
Okay. So that's why people have started to alleviate, you know, the fear of Pfizer. For example, everyone now wants the Pfizer. Sinovac have not shown any severe effect.
Okay.
I mean, there's about, I think, 60 million doses has been administered all over the world. Right. If, for example, the AstraZeneca and even Johnson & Johnson, right now they're pausing Johnson & Johnson about the blood clot. That's about 1 in 1 million. Okay, that's very low, but it's still 1 in 1 million. So if 60 million doses have been given and nothing has been shown up yet, it's pretty safe on the Sinovac vaccine. So I'm confident, like you said, if anyone is offered the Sinovac vaccine or the Pfizer vaccine, please take it. There is no, you don't have to worry.
Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But before we leave you tonight, just a reminder that you can get all the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines on astroawani.com, as well as the Astro Awani app. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off the evening.
We will catch you same time on Monday. Have a great weekend, folks. Good night.